Book 3, Canto 3, The House of the Spirit and the New Creation. A mightier task remained than all he had done. To that he turned from which all being comes, a sign attending from the secrecy which knows the truth ungrasped behind our thoughts and guards the world with its all-seeing gaze. In the unapproachable stillness of his soul, intense, one-pointed, monumental, lone, patient, he sat like an incarnate hope, motionless on a pedestal of prayer. A strength he sought that was not yet on earth, help from a power too great for mortal will, the light of a truth now only seen afar, a sanction from his high omnipotent source. But from the appalling heights there stooped no voice, the timeless lids were closed, no opening came. A neutral, helpless void oppressed the ears. In the texture of our bound humanity, he felt the stark resistance, huge and dumb, of our inconscient and unseeing base, the stubborn, mute rejection in life's depths, the ignorant no in the origin of things. A veiled collaboration with the night, even in himself, survived and hid from his view. Still something in his earthly being kept its kinship with the inconscient whence it came. A shadowy unity with a vanished past, treasured in an old world frame, was lurking there, secret, unnoted by the illumined mind, and in subconscious whispers and in dream, still murmured at the mind's and spirit's choice. Its treacherous elements spread like slippery grains, hoping the incoming truth might stumble and fall, and old ideal voices wandering moaned and pleaded for a heavenly leniency to the gracious imperfections of our earth and the sweet weaknesses of our mortal state. This now he willed to discover and exile, the element in him betraying God. All nature's recondite spaces were stripped bare, all her dim crypts and corners searched with fire, where refugee instincts and unshaped revolts could shelter find in darkness sanctuary against the white purity of heaven's cleansing flame. All seemed to have perished that was undivine. Yet some minutest dissident might escape and still a center lurk of the blind force. For the inconscient too is infinite. The more its abysses we insist to sound, the more it stretches endlessly. Then, lest a human cry should spoil the truth, he tore desire up from its bleeding roots and offered to the gods the vacant place. Thus could he bear the touch immaculate.
A last and mightiest transformation came.
His soul was all in front, like a great sea flooding the mind and body with its waves. His being spread to embrace the universe, united the within and the without, to make of life a cosmic harmony, an empire of the immanent divine. In this tremendous universality, not only his soul nature and mind sense included every soul and mind in his, but even the life of flesh and nerve was changed and grew one flesh and nerve with all that lives. He felt the joy of others as his joy. He bore the grief of others as his grief. His universal sympathy upbore, immense like ocean, the creation's load, as earth upbears. All beings sacrifice, thrilled with the hidden transcendence, joy and peace. There was no more division's endless crawl. One grew the spirit's secret unity. All nature felt again the single bliss. There was no cleavage between soul and soul. There was no barrier between world and God. Overpowered were form and memory's limiting line. The covering mind was seized and torn apart. It was dissolved and now no more could be. The one consciousness that made the world was seen. All now was luminosity and force. Abolished in its last thin, fainting trace, the circle of the little self was gone. The separate being could no more be felt. It disappeared and knew itself no more, lost in the spirit's wide identity. His nature grew a movement of the all, exploring itself to find that all was he. His soul was a delegation of the all that turned from itself to join the one supreme. Transcended was the human formula. Man's heart, that had obscured the inviolable, assumed the mighty beating of a God's. His seeking mind ceased in the truth that knows. His life was a flow of the universal life. He stood fulfilled on the world's highest line, awaiting the ascent beyond the world, awaiting the descent, the world to save. A splendor and a symbol wrapped the earth. Serene epiphanies looked and hallowed vast surrounded. Wise infinitudes were close and bright remotenesses leaned near and kin. Sense failed in that tremendous lucency. Ephemeral voices from his hearing fell, and thought, potent no more, sank, large and pale, like a tired god, into mysterious seas. The robes of mortal thinking were cast down, leaving his knowledge bare to absolute sight. Fate's driving ceased, and nature's sleepless spur. The athlete heavings of the will were stilled in the omnipotence, unmoving peace. Life in his members lay down, vast and mute. Naked, unwalled, unterrified, it bore the immense regard of immortality. The last movement died, and all at once grew still. A weight that was the unseen transcendence hand laid on his limbs. the spirit's measureless sea, infinity, swallowed him into shore. One who sets his sail towards mystery shores, driven through huge oceans by the breath of God, the fathomless below, the unknown around, his soul abandoned the blind star-filled space. Afar from all that makes the measured world, plunging to hidden eternities, it withdrew back from mind's foaming surface to the vast, voiceless within us in omniscient sleep. Above the imperfect reach of word and thought, beyond the sight that seeks support of form, lost in deep tracks of superconscient light, or voyaging in blank, featureless nothingness, soul in the trackless incommensurable, or past, not self, and self, and selflessness, transgressing the dream shores of conscious mind, he reached at last his sempiternal base. On sorrowless heights no winging cry disturbs, pure and untouched above this mortal play is spread the spirit's hushed immobile air. There no beginning is and there no end. There is the stable force of all that moves. There the aeonic laborer is at rest. There turns no keyed creation in the void, no giant mechanism watched by a soul. There creaks no fate-turned huge machinery. The marriage of evil with good within one breast, the clash of strife in the very class of love, the dangerous pain of life's experiment in the values of inconsequence and chance, the peril of mind's gamble throwing our lives at stake in a wager of indifferent gods, and the shifting lights and shadows of the idea falling upon the surface consciousness, and in the dream of a mute witness soul creating the error of a half-seen world where knowledge is a seeking ignorance, life steps a stumbling series without suit, its aspect a fortuitous design, its equal measure of the true and false, in that immobile and immutable realm, find no excess, no cause, no right to live. There only reigns the spirit's motionless power, poised in itself through still eternity and its omniscient and omnipotent peace. Thought clashes not with thought and truth with truth. There is no war of right with rival right. There are no stumbling and half-seeing lives passing from chance to unexpected chance. No suffering of hearts compelled to beat in bodies of the inert inconscience make. Armed with the immune, occult, unsinking fire, the guardians of eternity keep its law forever fixed upon truth's giant base in her magnificent and termless home. There nature on her dumb spiritual couch, immutably transcendent, knows her source, and to the stir of multitudinous worlds ascends unmoved in a perpetual calm. All causing, all sustaining and aloof, the witness looks from his unshaken poise and I immense regarding all things done. Apart, at peace, above creation stir, immersed in the eternal altitudes, he abode defended in his shoreless self, companioned only by the all-seeing one. A mind too mighty to be bound by thought, a life too boundless for the play in space, a soul without borders, unconvinced of time, he felt the extinction of the world's long pain. He became the unborn self that never dies. He joined the sessions of infinity. On the cosmic murmur, primal loneliness fell. Annulled was the contact formed with time-born things. Empty grew nature's wide community. All things were brought back to their formless seat. The world was silent for a cyclic hour. Although the afflicted nature he had left maintained beneath him her broad, numberless fields, her enormous act receding failed remote, as if a soulless dream at last had ceased. No voice came down from the high silences. None answered from her desolate solitude. A stillness of cessation reigned, the wide, immortal hush before the gods are born. A universal force awaited, mute, the veiled transcendence, ultimate decree. Then suddenly there came a downward look, as if a sea exploring its own depths, a living oneness widened at its core and joined him to unnumbered multitudes. A bliss, a light, a power, a flame-white love caught all into a soul immense embrace. Existence found its truth on oneness' breast, and each became the self and space of all. The great world rhythms were heartbeats of one soul. To feel was a flame discovery of God. All mind was a single harp of many strings, all life a song of many meeting lives. For worlds were many, but the self was one. This knowledge now was made a cosmic seed. This seed was cased in the safety of the light. It needed not a sheath of ignorance. Then from the trance of that tremendous clasp, and from the throbbings of that single heart, and from the naked spirit's victory, a new and marvelous creation rose. Incalculable outflowing infinitudes, laughing out an unmeasured happiness, lived their innumerable unity. Worlds where the being is unbound and wide, bodied unthinkably the egoless self. Rapture of beatific energies joined time to the timeless, poles of a single joy. White vasts were seen where all is wrapped in all. There were no contraries, no sundered parts. All by spiritual links were joined to all and bound indissolubly to the One. Each was unique, but took all lives as his own, and following out these stones of the infinite, recognized in himself the universe. a splendid center of infinity's whirl, pushed to its zenith height, its last expanse, felt the divinity of its own self-bliss repeated in its numberless other selves. To its scope, persons and figures of the impersonal, as if prolonging in a ceaseless count, in a rapturous multiplication sum, the recurring decimals of eternity. None was apart, none lived for himself alone, each lived for God in him and God in all, each soulness inexpressibly held the whole. Their oneness was not tied to monotone. It showed a thousand aspects of itself, its calm, immutable stability, upbore on a changeless ground forever safe, compelled to a spontaneous servitude, the ever-changing, incalculable steps, the seeming reckless dances, subtle plan of immense world forces in their perfect play. Appearance looked back to its hidden truth and made of difference, oneness smiling play. It made all persons fractions of the unique, yet all were beings' secret integers. All struggle was turned to a sweet strife of love in the harmonized circle of a sure embrace. Identity's reconciling happiness gave a rich security to difference. On a meeting line of hazardous extremes, the game of games was played to its breaking point, where through self-finding by divine self-loss, there leaps out unity's supreme delight, whose blissful undivided sweetness feels a communality of the absolute. There was no sob of suffering anywhere. Experience ran from point to point of joy. Bliss was the pure, undying truth of things. All nature was a conscious front of God. A wisdom worked in all, self-moved, self-sure, a plenitude of illimitable light, an authenticity of intuitive truth, a glory and passion of creative force. Infallible, leaping from eternity, the moment's thought inspired the passing act. A word, a laughter, sprang from silence's breast, a rhythm of beauty in the calm of space, a knowledge in the fathomless heart of time. All turned to all without reserve's recoil, a single ecstasy without a break. Love was a close and thrilled identity in the throbbing heart of all that luminous life. A universal vision that unites, a sympathy of nerve replying to nerve, hearing that listens to thought's inner sound and follows the rhythmic meanings of the heart, a touch that needs not hands to feel, to clasp, where there the native means of consciousness and heightened the intimacy of soul with soul. A grand orchestra of spiritual powers, a diapason of soul interchange, harmonized, a oneness deep, immeasurable. In these new worlds projected, he became a portion of the universal gaze, a station of the all-inhabiting light, a ripple on a single sea of peace. His mind answered to countless communing minds. His words were syllables of the cosmos speech, his life a field of the vast cosmic stir. He felt the footsteps of a million wills moving in unison to a single goal, a stream, ever newborn, that never dies, caught in its thousandfold currents, ravishing flow, with eddies of immortal sweetness thrilled, he bore, coiling through his members as they passed, calm movements of interminable delight, the bliss of a myriad myriads who are one. In this vast outbreak of perfection's law, imposing its fixity on the flux of things, he saw a hierarchy of lucent planes enfeoffed to this highest kingdom of God's state. Attuning to one truth, their own right rule, each housed the gladness of a bright degree, alone in beauty, perfect in self-kind, an image cast by one deep truth's absolute, married to all in happy difference. Each gave its powers to help its neighbor's parts, but suffered no diminution by the gift. Profiteers of a mystic interchange, they grew by what they took and what they gave. All others they felt as their own complements, one in the might and joy of multitude. Even in the poise where oneness draws apart to feel the rapture of its separate selves, the soul in its solitude yearned towards the all, and the many turned to look back at the one. An all-revealing, all-creating bliss, seeking for forms to manifest truths divine, aligned in their significant mystery, the gleams of the symbols of the ineffable, blazoned like hues upon a colorless air, on the white purity of the witness soul. These hues were the very prism of the Supreme, his beauty, power, delight, creation's cause. A vast truth consciousness took up these signs to pass them on to some divine child heart that looked on them with laughter and delight and joyed in these transcendent images, living and real as the truths they house. The spirit's white neutrality became a playground of miracles, a rendezvous for the secret powers of a mystic timelessness. It made of space a marvel house of God. It poured through time its works of ageless might, unveiled, seen as a luring, rapturous face, the wonder and beauty of its love and force. The eternal goddess moved in her cosmic house, sporting with God as a mother with her child. To him the universe was her bosom of love. His toys were the immortal verities. All here, self-lost, had there its divine place. The powers that here betray our hearts and air were there, sovereign in truth, perfect in joy, masters in a creation without flaw, possessors of their own infinitude. Their mind, a splendid sun of vision's rays, shaped substance by the glory of its thoughts and moved amidst the grandeur of its dreams. Imagination's great and short-selling rod summoned the unknown and gave to it a home outspread luxuriantly in golden air, truth's iris-colored wings of fantasy, or sang to the intuitive heart of joy, wonder's dream notes that bring the real close. Its power that makes the unknowable near and true in the temple of the ideal shrine the one. Its people, thought and mind and happy sense filled with bright aspects of the might of God and living persons of the one supreme, the speech that voices the ineffable, the ray revealing unseen presences, the virgin forms through which the formless shines, the word that ushers divine experience and the ideas that crowd the infinite. There was no gulf between the thought and fact. Ever they replied like bird to calling bird. The will obeyed the thought, the act the will. There was a harmony woven twixt soul and soul, a marriage which eternity divinized time. Their life pursued, unwearied of her sport, joy in her heart and laughter on her lips, the bright adventure of God's game of chance. In her ingenious ardor of caprice, in her transfiguring mirth, she mapped on time a fascinating puzzle of events, lured at each turn by new vicissitudes to self-discovery that could never cease. Ever she framed stark bonds for the will to break, brought new creations for the thought surprise, and passionate ventures for the heart to dare, where truth recurred with an unexpected face, or else repeated old familiar joy like the return of a delightful rhyme. Ardent hunt of soul, looking for soul, a seeking and a finding as of God's. Their matter is the spirit's firm destiny, an artistry of glad outwardness of self, a treasure house of lasting images where sense can build a world of pure delight. The home of a perpetual happiness, it lodged the hours as in a pleasant inn. The senses there were outlets of the soul. Even the youngest child thought of the mind incarnated some touch of highest things. Their substance was a resonant harp of self, a net for the constant lightnings of the spirit, a magnet power of love's intensity, whose yearning throb and adoration's cry drew God's approaches close, sweet, wonderful. Its solidity was a mass of heavenly make, its fixity and sweet permanence of charm made a bright pedestal for felicity. Its body woven by a divine sense prolonged the nearness of souls clasped with soul. Its warm play of external sight and touch reflected the glow and thrill of the heart's joy, mind's climbing brilliant thoughts, the spirit's bliss. Life's rapture kept forever its flame and cry. All that now passes lived immortal there in the proud beauty and fine harmony of matter, plastic to spiritual light. Its ordered hours proclaim the eternal law. Vision reposed on a safety of deathless forms. Time was eternity's transparent robe. An architect hewing out self's living rock, phenomenon built reality's summer house on the beaches of the sea of infinity. Against this glory of spiritual states, their parallels and yet their opposites, floated and swayed, eclipsed and shadow-like, as if a doubt made substance flickering pale. This other scheme, two vast negations found. A world that knows not its inhabiting self, labors to find its cause and need to be, a spirit ignorant of the world it made, obscured by matter, travestied by life, struggles to emerge, to be free, to know and reign. These were close tied in one disharmony, yet the divergent lines met not at all. Three powers governed its irrational course. In the beginning, an unknowing force. In the middle, an embodied striving soul. In its end, a silent spirit denying life. A dull and infelicitous interlude unrolls its dubious truth to a questioning mind compelled by the ignorant power to play its part and to record her inconclusive tale, the mystery of her inconscient plan and the riddle of a being born from night by a marriage of necessity with chance. This darkness hides our nobler destiny. A chrysalis of a great and glorious truth, it stifles the winged marvel in its sheath, lest from the prison of matter it escape, and wasting its beauty on the formless vast, merged into the unknowable's mystery, leave unfulfilled the world's miraculous fate. As yet thought only some high spirit's dream or a vexed illusion in man's toiling mind, a new creation from the old shall rise. A knowledge inarticulate finds speech, beauty suppressed, burst into paradise bloom, pleasure and pain dive into absolute bliss. A tongueless oracle shall speak at last, the superconscient conscious grow on earth, the Eternal's wonders join the dance of time. But now all seemed a vainly teeming vast, upheld by a deluded energy to a spectator, self-absorbed and mute, careless of the unmeaning show he watched, regarding the bizarre procession pass like one who waits for an expected end. He saw a world that is from a world to be. There he divined, rather than saw or felt, far off upon the rim of consciousness, transient and frail, this little whirling globe, and on it left, like a lost dream's vain mould, a fragile copy of the spirit shell, his body gathered into mystic sleep. A foreign shape, it seemed, a mythic shade, alien now seemed that dim, far universe, self and eternity alone were true. Then memory climbed to him from the striving plains, bringing a cry from once loved, cherished things, and to the cry, as to its own lost call, a ray replied from the occult supreme. For even there the boundless oneness dwells. To its own sight unrecognizable, it lived still sunk in its own tenebrous seas, upholding the world's inconscient unity, hidden in matter's insentient multitude. This seed self, sown in the indeterminate, forfeits its glory of divinity, concealing the omnipotence of its force, concealing the omniscience of its soul. An agent of its own transcendent will, it merges knowledge in the inconscient deep, accepting error, sorrow, death and pain. It pays the ransom of the ignorant night, redeeming by its substance nature's fall. Himself he knew, and why his soul had gone into earth's passionate obscurity, to share the labor of an errant power, which by division hopes to find the one. Two beings he was, one wide and free above, one struggling, bound, intense, its portion here. A tie between them still could bridge two worlds. There was a dim response, a distant breath, all had not ceased in the unbounded hush. His heart lay somewhere, conscious and alone, far down below him, like a lamp in night. Abandoned it lay, alone, imperishable, immobile, with excess of passionate will, his living, sacrificed and offered heart, absorbed in adoration mystical, turned to its far-off fount of light and love. In the luminous stillness of its mute appeal, it looked up to the heights it could not see. It yearned from the longing depths it could not leave. In the center of his vast and fateful trance, halfway between his free and fallen selves, interceding twixt God's day and the mortal's night, accepting worship as its single law, accepting bliss as the sole cause of things, refusing the austere joy which none can share, refusing the calm that lives for calm alone, to her it turned from whom it willed to be. In the passion of its solitary dream, it lay like a closed, soundless oratory, where sleeps a consecrated argent floor, lit by a single and untrembling ray, and an invisible presence kneels in prayer. On some deep breast of liberating peace, all else was satisfied with quietude. This only knew there was a truth beyond. All other parts were dumb in centered sleep, consenting to the slow, deliberate power which tolerates the world's error and its grief, consenting to the cosmic long delay, timelessly waiting through the patient years her coming they had asked for earth and men. This was the fiery point that called her now. Extinction could not quench that lonely fire. Its seeing filled the blank of mind and will. Thought dead, its changeless force abode and grew. Armed with the intuition of a bliss to which some moved tranquility was the key, it persevered through life's huge emptiness amid the blank denials of the world. It sent its voiceless prayer to the unknown. It listened for the footsteps of its hopes returning through the void immensities. It waited for the fiat of the word that comes through the still self from the supreme. End of Canto 3.